We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
We know what we're up against, and not going to get up here right now and give a big rah-rah speech. We got to win a game. It's as simple as that. In all honesty, I've never been here before. It was kind of an unfamiliar territory, but I guess what you do is you try to draw upon things, previous experience, even if it's not the same. The only thing I can say is we came back from the dead once before this season, and the only way that we did that was with character and belief, and that's what we need right now. But like I said, the other part of that equation, the reason that why we were able to make the playoffs when we weren't supposed to make the playoffs is we were able to look at it one game at a time, and that's obviously what we have to do here too.
That's probably the best thing he could have said.
Pretty much.
Because that's all it is. I mean, you got to win four in a row against maybe, right now, looks to be the best team in hockey. The way the Blackhawks are playing. And, it's got to be frustrating, too, because they had opportunities. They just they couldn't get a goal.
And who knew Crawford was good again?
Well, he had his bad run with Nashville, then came back and, he closed them out. And now, they can't do anything. He's the wall that Devin Dubnyk was down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
That got them back and got them into the postseason. I don't know. I mean, if 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105, if you present us a legitimate scenario of why you think they can come back, I just don't see it happening. I mean, they could get closed out on Thursday easily.
Very, very tough.
I mean, mentally to go into that game on Thursday, knowing you're down 3-0 to the Blackhawks, that's got to be crushing.
Yeah.
And again, they haven't been blown out. They just can't score.
Oh, that just seems to be how the Wild fall apart when it comes playoff time. When it gets to Chicago, they do struggle to put pucks in the net. I don't know what they can do to fix that. Obviously,
score!
They need to get better on the power play. Yeah, that's the easy way just to say score more.
Now, that's something we haven't heard. Score! When you do the Fox Sports North thing, that's just not happening.
There hasn't been enough of them.
No, not even close. But, last night's game, again, it was a home game, but on the road when they score first, when Chicago does, they take emotionally, it's gut-wrenching for the team. But at home, I mean, this crowd knows when they get scored on first, that crowd just loses its enthusiasm.
Yeah, it seemed like for the first part of the second period especially, they were really quiet. Parts of the first period, really quiet. But they did get up and get a little antsy in the pantsy here and there.
I love when they get antsy in the pantsy.
That's the best.
But there wasn't enough anything sustained to get them going. And, if you're a Wild fan, after game two when the first goal was shorthanded, when there's a power play, you got to be like, gnawing on your fingernails and nervous as heck that they're going to score another shorthanded goal, because that team is as explosive as you get. Yes, they only scored one, but the potential for them to be explosive is extremely high.
Yeah, they can turn it around quick, and the way when the Wild were on the power play, they were not letting them get pucks in front of the net and keeping them on the outer, like the umbrella area.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Well, and then they clear the puck, too. I mean, they're terrific at that.
Yeah.
They just don't get the opportunities that if you're the other team on a power play, you hope to get and want to get. Why is it, though, it always seems when it's and the Wild certainly scored on power plays, but it just seems when they go against the team, the other team does a great job of clearing the puck, but when the opponent's on a power play, it's like a ballet, or it's orchestrated. The puck seems to go exactly where it needs to go, and not get intercepted. Now, I know that's not the case, but maybe it's because you're watching the locals go, and you think, well, you'd like to see something happen for them. I mean, I never root for the only people I root for are people on my fantasy or rotisserie teams, and I don't play fantasy hockey or rotisserie hockey anymore, or whatever you'd call it. But I would like to see this team do well, because it's fun when there's a team in the postseason, and it's fun when people are excited and fans are excited. And right now, there's not very much of either. And even last night, too. Remember what I said when it's over for the you know, for the Wild. Then the Twins will start. They'll be doing great, and then they'll go into their 10-game losing streak. Now, I'm not saying after last night's 2-1 win is going to be the beginning of the end for them, but it's
maybe the Twins could sense it.
Well, their score is almost actually they scored more than they lost 2-1 and got one more score than the Wild did.
It's an accomplishment.
It is. They actually have been playing pretty good lately. We'll see how you know, whether they bounce back again tonight. And tomorrow, they got the noon game with Oakland. We've got tickets. Two pairs. We're not going to give them away right now. Or should we give them away right now? Should we give away a pair now?
Sure.
Well, then 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. You know what? Just give us a call and tell us, in your own words, of course, if you think there's any chance, let us know how you think this series will end. 4-0, will they stretch it? Can they win a couple in a row to make it interesting? Whoever gives us the answer we think is the best answer, you're going to the game tomorrow. 651-989-9105. Actually, we have to give these away fairly early because the game is at noon.
Yeah.
So people have to come and get the tickets today or tomorrow morning. So 651-989-9105, if you'd like to tell us what you're thinking and who you're thinking is going to win and how you think they're going to win. Rolling up your sleeves for this one, I see.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Now, there's a lot of stuff that happened besides your Wild and your Twins losing. Did you see Bud Grant join Twitter?
I heard about that.
Now, okay.
To promote what?
Well, he's got another garage sale coming up. It'll be May 20th on his birthday. He had thousands of people showed up last time. But Bud is he's on Twitter. But the one thing, there is no question it's really representing Bud Grant, but I'm not sure that it's actually Bud Grant who's responding. I have a hard time believing Bud's there in front of his computer on Twitter getting back to people. Now, it could be the case, but I'm not 100% sold on it being the case. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, I'm going to make sure I get this. He is HP. Yeah, it's HP Bud Grant. Is how he is, what he's calling himself on Twitter. At HP Bud Grant. And follow him. He's already got over 3,000 followers. I think he just joined in May. So you want to check that out. But the responses that he's given are just, I don't know if it's, I'm not convinced that it's Bud. HP Bud Grant. Let's go to line one.
Lou from Richfield.
Lou, what do you think? What's the best you think can happen for this team?
I think that they're capable of coming back. I think the Wild are...
Four in a row?
Yeah, I do. I think the key is to just get that first win, and if you get the second one, all of a sudden the pressure's on Chicago. The Wild can... I believe they're actually the better team, and when they play their style and get a couple breaks, I believe that they could win the series.
You know what, Hellboy?
What's that?
No, I'm giving you the tickets because you're either... An incredible optimist or you're delusional, and anyone who's one of those things should be going to the game.
Yeah.
But if you're delusional, maybe you should have somebody drive you there.
Yeah, win two, and all of a sudden Chicago starts doubting themselves. When the Wild get confident and they start playing their game, they're hard to beat.
Well, then you know what? Get on hold there, and you are going to get those tickets. All right, look, there he is. He's seeing a way.
Let's hope that can happen.
The other people, we'll have another pair to give away a little bit later. But we'll see how that one works out. Good for him. All right, Lou had he's an optimist. Or would you be a delusionist if you're delusional?
I don't know if that's a thing, but why can't it be?
I don't see why it shouldn't be. I think you can be a delusionist. Let me see if the word even exists. Delusionist. You would be a delusionist, one given to deluding or having delusions. So he's either an optimist or a delusionist.
An optimal delusionist.
Now you're cracking. Now you're making some sense. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention today, and we'll talk more about this as we go along here. Deflategate. Things are coming out, and it doesn't look good for one Tom Brady. The ESPN, or the NFL, ESPN, by the way, reported this. The NFL has found that it is probable that the New England Patriots personnel deliberately deflated balls during the AFC Championship game in January, and that quarterback Tom Brady was, quote, generally aware, end quote, of what was happening. Well, either he's aware or he isn't. generally aware is giving him too much of a break. I mean, I know that he's a favorite son of the NFL, and he's got the beautiful runway model wife. He's good-looking guy, got everything going his way, but either he did or he didn't. Now, yeah. They released the findings today. You know how long this report was? 243 pages by Ted Wells, who was appointed by the league to be the attorney. 240, either, yeah, they knew, or no, they didn't. How do you need 243 pages? But it's a long one. That's a long one. But they did say this, that there is reason to believe that they were aware of it. I wonder, though, what will that mean in terms of will they suspend him for a few games? Or because it's only generally aware, they'll ignore it and let it go. They'll let it slide.
It said more probable than not.
Well, generally aware would be probable.
One of the phrases that I heard was more probable than not. So if we looked outside and we saw clouds and asked me if it's going to rain, I said, that's more probable than not. Where? Is that a guarantee?
Here's the line you're talking. In particular, we have concluded that it is more probable than not that Jim McNally, the official locker room attendant for the Patriots, and John, this is a new name, Jastrzemski, an equipment assistant for the Patriots, participated in a deliberate effort to release air from Patriots game balls after the balls were examined by the referee. Based on the evidence, it is also our view that it is more probable than not that Tom Brady, the quarterback for the Patriots, was at least generally aware of the inappropriate activities of McNally and Jastrzemski involving the release of air from Patriot game balls. Well, of course, they're not going to do it unless the quarterback wants it.
It's a soft J, though. That's how I've heard it pronounced.
Jastrzemski? Like,
Jastrzemski.
There's only one Jastrzemski in the Buffalo or the Boston area, and it's not this guy.
That's Yaz.
I know. It's close enough, though. Jastrzemski. Jastrzemski.
Yes, Jastrzemski.
This poor guy, this poor guy and the equipment assistant. I mean, he gets no notoriety until now. He's the guy that picks up their soiled laundry after practice and games.
And probably gets the most hefty fine or punishment.
Oh, it'll be him. He's the one that the other guy, Jim McNally, was like a part-time guy. I think he only worked game day, so he'll be gone. They'll both probably be gone, which is unfortunate because it would appear what they were told. All right, the NFL is considering discipline for Brady, McNally, and Jastrzemski, a source close to the investigation told ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Discipline is days away, the source said. And the report also said no evidence that Bill Belichick or team management knew of the practice. I really would be interested in seeing. It's for Brady, you think it's going to be more. They won't suspend him for games.
Not likely.
It would have to be a slap on the wrist or a fine.
They create rules to help out Tom Brady. They don't do anything to tarnish his image.
And that's the way it has been, and that, I would say, is the way. That's why they're carefully crafting words that don't make it look like it's going to be too, too bad on him. And the other thing, we'll certainly get into this, too. Manny Pacquiao's facing right now, and it could go up, five class action lawsuits against Pacquiao and his promoters for failing to disclose his injury before consumers purchased tickets and pay-per-view telecasts for his fight against Floyd Mayweather. You know what? We got to try to get Marsh Hallberg on or someone from his office. The guy just wanted a fight. He knew it. Think of the uproar there would have been had he pulled out. And you know Mayweather's camp had to know about this because they may have been involved in the decision to move forward. He probably felt he can fight with it. Why would he go into the ring with a bad wing, knowing that his shoulder is bad? He's not going to do that. He probably thought he could fight with it. That's the other thing, by the way. How tough is Mayweather if he couldn't beat a guy with a torn rotator cuff going in?
Yeah, come on.
I mean, he couldn't beat him more. He couldn't knock him out, and it turns out to be a unanimous decision, but he should have been able to put him away, yet he couldn't. We are going to take a quick break, and when we return, we got a little, give you a little threesome. We'll give you a little bit of that. We'll give you a little D-bag of the day. And by the way, you may hear the name Tom Brady again. We got a few names for you on that one. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Three, oh, it's a magic number. Yeah, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity, you'll get three. It's a magic number.
That is the threesome music. You know what? Let's take a caller first.
Ted from North Branch.
Ted, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. Now, you say you have an answer for scoring goals?
Yeah, I do. You've got to take it to them. They got to stop acting like little panty waists and start putting them into the boards. You know, make them men afraid. That's my plan.
I love that. Stop being like panty waists. You know what, Ted?
Yes.
I'm giving you a pair of tickets to the Twins if you want it. Do you want it?
Yeah.
Tomorrow's noon game. You're going, but you got to get down here and get those tickets either before 5:30. What's that?
To the hockey game?
I'm not giving you tickets to the hockey game. I'm giving
Twins
you tickets
don't play hockey.
So the Twins game tomorrow.
To the Wild.
No, the Twins tomorrow at noon.
Oh, okay, yeah.
All right. Well, you get down here tomorrow, today or tomorrow, though, by 5:30 today and before the game at the noon game. We'll put you on hold, and you get those tickets, all right?
You betcha. Thanks.
All right, hold on.
They got to get it to them.
All right, we know they do. Thanks, Ted. Ted's a little fired up.
Yeah.
Good for him, though. He's right. No,
another optimist.
Don't play like a bunch of panty wastes. No, you don't want that to happen. You know what? We are going to hear from Marsh Hallberg. We're getting him. But right now, hit me with one of those threesome questions.
Attention, Bob.
Yes, sir.
I have three questions for you.
Yeah.
Number one, if the Wild gets swept, is Mike Yeo in danger of losing his job?
No, I think he ensured the way they played in the second half. I don't think he's going to lose his job. I would hope that Craig Leopold and Chuck Fletcher can see that this is one hell of a Chicago team. All right, let's go through them quick. We'll leave Marsh on hold for a second. Guys, give me the second one.
Number two, do you think Mike Wallace is the fastest man in the NFL?
He thinks he is. I don't think so. I think there's a few guys that could, maybe even some guys on his own team. Josh Robinson ran a 4.2-something, and so did Trey Waynes.
Brand new receiver for the Ravens, Breshad Perriman, ran a 4.26 at his pro day.
Let's set him up.
See what he does once he starts working out NFL style.
Yeah, okay. Well, Mike thinks he is, but I don't think he is. You could probably beat him.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get the third one. We got to get Marsh on then.
And finally, if Byron Buxton continues his tear in the minors, how long will it be before the Twins call him up?
Get him up here as soon as they can. Let's see what the future looks like. Maybe you can help him win a pennant. Unlikely, but at least, you got to have some optimism, right? I would bring him up as soon as they feel he's ready. Give him the taste. Doing it was Rosario, or he's up here anyway. Let's go to Marsh. Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense, new website, HallbergDefense.com. So, Marsh, five class action lawsuits filed against Manny Pacquiao, claiming, basically saying they waste these people thought they were duped into spending money on the pay-per-view and the fight. Is there ever anything that comes of these things? Because I don't know that is there merit to it. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, my first blush on this is hell no. We saw the first one come out of Nevada federal court, and then there are two out of California. There's one out of Texas and one out of Illinois now. And there'll be more. They'll keep going. And as you just said, the basic theory is saying, look, I doled out $100 for a fight, and if I got what was advertised to healthy, legitimate fighters, I'm willing to drop $100 to do that. But if I'd been told before I spent my money that, look, one guy's going to be limping along because he's injured, but he's going to fight anyway, would I have still bought that ticket? As I think about that more, I go, that's not a bad argument. So no, if I'd known the true facts, that wouldn't have been the case. And the value in this for something a class action case is that, you add up, how many people did this? I don't know, the hundreds of thousands of people that bought pay-per-view, right?
Yep.
And you say, well, it's at least $5 less instead of $100. Maybe all you got was $95 worth, and you add up $5 per person, and then you add up that they can collect the attorney's fees above and beyond the damages that they get, and they spread that out amongst everybody. It can be a real significant number. And, we're talking, they're talking, $300 million, I think, is what they're saying they're getting out of pay-per-view. And
yes,
roughly 69% of that, I think, went to the two fighters, and they broke that up between the two of them. So it's roughly, I think, $170 million-plus that went to the two fighters out of this.
So are you saying that people should go to HallbergDefense.com? Because you're going to – no one has had one in Minnesota yet.
There you go.
You could be the hub for the ground zero in Minnesota for the class action lawsuit.
I just didn't think of that. No, I think we'll pass on that. We'll let somebody else jump on that. We are – we keep it simple, stupid. We do only criminal defense work here. But I'm sure somebody will pick up on that, and then they'll start to merge these things together because you're going to have claims all over the United States in different federal courts. And at some point, there's going to be a motion made to consolidate these cases into one location. And then the attorneys will fight over how they're all involved and what percentage they all get and all do those things. But I think this is going to hang around for a little bit. No pun intended, but I think Pacquiao and his manager and the top rank or what are they called?
Top rank.
Yeah, that they're all going to try a knockout blow is what you do. It's called a summary judgment where you bring a claim in the front to a judge and say, judge, even if all the facts by the plaintiff, by the people bringing the lawsuit is true, so even if we say everything they say is true, we still don't think this should be a cause of action because there's just something in sport, there's a certain amount of risk and injury and everything else, and that's the kind of argument they're going to make on this. And they have two main theories. The legal mumbo-jumbo is what's called fraud and unjust enrichment. Fraud is you intentionally chose to not give me the correct facts, and unjust enrichment is you did something to put money in your pocket that's unfair. It should still be in my pocket.
Well, you know, I'm taking a look at the pre-fight medical questionnaire, and he hit no on everything except he hit yes on the medications he was taking or the topical or anything that he was using. And I also wonder, though, because I see one of them, do you have any serious medical illnesses, diseases, conditions, or out? Well, his mind, it may not be serious. I would think that any one of these things he hit no to, he could easily. Well, here, have you had any injury to your shoulders? Well, that one. Shoulders, you could argue it didn't say shoulder. Shoulders.
Yeah. They needed evaluation. Be a lawyer, you know, but, I mean, you can't say this was minor. The guy's going to be having, he's going to be out, what, 9 to 12 months? He's going to be out of action with torn rotator cuff surgery. So it's a pretty significant thing. And so I think, this guy named Michael Konczer, obviously pronounced Konczer, is the advisor. He's the one throwing himself under the bus saying, I'm the one that made an inadvertent mistake, is his phrase. It was just an inadvertent mistake. You know,
Don't you think that Mayweather's side had to know something? Because there's no way they were postponing this fight, not with all the money at stake when it was at stake.
Oh, my God, no. There's no way. And then they'd say he's just backing out because he's chicken and all those kinds of things. And the nightmare, it took 5 years to put this fight together, as we all know. And to have tried to reschedule again 9 months, 12 months from now, it just wasn't to happen. I mean, there's already so much pushback about having a second fight, a second match, that you'd have had as much pushback on rescheduling this one. And it's just too much money. Like I said, $300 million these guys are getting. Yep. So
we're talking to Mosh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense, HallbergDefense.com. There's their website. Here's the thing about it, though. He went in with a bad shoulder. We're going to accept that.
Okay.
Floyd Mayweather couldn't knock him out, or he actually was as competitive as he was with a bad wing? What does that say about Mayweather?
Well, I heard a good comment today, actually, on the ticket this morning, National, there, to the report. They're saying, but look, to defend Mayweather, everybody's saying, but you know what? His point was to win the fight. It isn't that he has to knock him out. He doesn't have to change his game. Yeah, that would have been a great statement if he'd knocked out Pacquiao to show this is how much better I am than anybody else on the planet. But the goal is to remain undefeated and keep that, keep that title going. So, he did what he had to do to win. So it's kind of like, a team running out the clock in the last few minutes. It's boring as hell, but I still
win. All right. Now, you watched the fight.
I did.
Did you at any time hear any of the announcers, or did you yourself say there's something wrong with that arm or shoulder?
No, I did not.
And I don't think hearing anything about anyone else saying it. So whatever it was, yes, he could come out of the fight with a torn rotator cuff. Did he go in with a torn rotator cuff? I don't think he could have, because there's no way he could punch as he did. It obviously got exasperated as the fight went on.
Yeah, well, I don't remember what the numbers is. I know that he threw a lot fewer punches than he normally does. If you average his number of punches thrown in the prior however many fights, it was significant. This fight was significant, and usually Pacquiao wins by the whirlwind of the number of blows he lands to get points. So that would be the only indication we had, is that he's just not throwing the numbers that he typically does. So they thought he might be trying to fight a different kind of fight because of that. Mayweather does a hell of a job of gouting us all into hating him, the guy you love to hate, just like in, a lot of different sports, and he's laughing all the way to the bank.
You know what, Marsh, though, as I look at this, because we have heard things where they parse words. The one, the lawsuit in one of them, it does bring up that he hit the no box in the question. Have you had any injury to your shoulders, elbows, or hands that needed evaluation or examination? Well, not to my shoulders, to one shoulder. But is that the type of legal technicality you could actually have things dismissed on?
Well, you throw that in there, but that's not going to happen. Again, fraud is based upon, it's the whole concept, was there an injury? So that's not going to get you very far, But I think the key here is going to see all the other defendants, Pacquiao and the top rank and the president, this Todd DeBoeuf, or however he said, he's all of them say, look, we didn't do anything wrong. You want to sue this Michael Konczer guy, knock yourself out, because if he did something wrong, we didn't know about it. We didn't know he checked the box wrong. So we haven't done anything wrong. So go get $1 zillion out of that guy's pocket who certainly doesn't have it. Because, Pacquiao is the deep pocket here. That's who they're trying to end top rank.
Well, I would say, to paraphrase the line from The Godfather, we won't see him no more.
Oh, no.
Because he'll disappear. Yeah, he won't be involved with Tom Brady. I'm not saying they're going to take him out and take the cannolis. I'm just saying we're not going to hear from him anymore.
How about for the opposite? How about you say to him, wink, 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 look, you check the box, you be the fall guy, and you take the hit. So later on, if the box had been checked the other way, it would have blown this whole fight. We're a lot better off to take the heat. That's right. It's better asked for forgiveness than permission, kind of a thing. So everybody's out there asking for forgiveness right now with the money in their bank account getting interest.
I'll tell you one thing about it, though. He was on a lot of meds.
Pacquiao was?
Yeah. I mean, there's like Toradol was one. The paper it's on, I'm trying to blow the darn thing up to see exactly, but there were there's about five meds that he was on. Because he asked what meds it is. One, two, yeah, five different meds that he was on.
I wonder if one was laughing gas, because he was such a, just being silly and lighthearted and just kind of laughing, and it's like he was going for a stroll in the park, as he got into I realize that might have been some kind of a mental thing. He thought he'd be just the opposite of being the tough guy. He'd be the silly guy to kind of freak out Mayweather, but it sure didn't work.
Well, Marsh, I appreciate you taking the time with us and helping sort through this. Marsh Hallberg from Hallberg Criminal Defense, HallbergDefense.com. We didn't even get to Deflategate, but that one is pretty silly, too.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk again.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it'll be time for our Gopher segment. We'll be joined by a Gopher athlete when we return. I'm thinking our guest recognizes that little ditty. It's time for our Gopher segment. Every Wednesday, we have a Gopher athlete, coach, or administrator. Today, we have an athlete who I just shook this athlete's hand, and Adrian Peterson went to number two for the best grip I've ever had. You are one strong young lady.
Thank you.
We're joined by Mari is how you say your first name, right?
Yep, Mari.
Sunbo?
Mm-hmm, Sunbo.
And Mari is a, she's on the rowing team, member of the second varsity eight, academic all Big Ten. You played lacrosse in high school. You're from Minnetonka. And, you don't exactly look what I'd expect from a rower. You're not like a, you're not husky.
No.
you're very lean, and you're obviously in very good shape. Is that, are all the rowers like that? You don't have any, you have a lot of big bone gals on the rowing team.
Oh, we have a couple. Some body types for all sizes.
That's what I mean. Yep. Is there all body types on the team?
Yep. We have some shorter people that we have in bow, and we have, usually your taller, bigger people are in the middle of the boat.
So where are you? Are you in the front or the back?
I'm in the middle of the boat.
There's no way you're in the middle, because you're not one of the bigger people.
I'm on like the end of the middle.
Because you are tall, though. How tall are you?
I'm about 6 feet.
Okay, well, that's probably because you're a height then that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Now, you're on the varsity, so obviously there's eight of you. Now, when you have eight, is there somebody in the back calling things out? Is that the coxswain? What do they call it?
Yep, it's the coxswain, and they actually sit in front of us. So they're the only person facing us the whole time.
That's what it is.
Yep.
I apologize for not. I've seen plenty of movies. Did you ever see the Matthew Modine movie when he was about being a rower? He was like a rower at the turn of the century.
Oh, I haven't.
I think he revolutionized rowing, because he might have invented the little slide seat for the single scull.
Ooh.
Do you have that, by the way?
We do.
Have you ever tried that one?
I have not tried the single.
Any reason why? I mean, is it just you like being in part of the team concept?
Yeah, I like being in the big boat. It's a lot more set.
Now we're talking to Mari Sunbo from the Gophers rowing team. And I'm fascinated by it, because I've only seen it. I've never seen one in person. From a distance when I was in Philadelphia once on the Schuylkill, which you've probably heard of. There's been a lot of races there.
Oh, yeah.
But what made you decide? There's, to my knowledge, there aren't many, if any, high school rowing teams. Is that right, Minnesota?
There's not a whole lot.
There
are some.
Okay.
There's a couple club programs. I heard about Minnesota rowing when I came to college. I got an email, actually, being like, hey, come join our novice team, which is the first-year team. So if you're not recruited, you can walk on and do
Is that what you did
sport.
Then?
And I did.
But you played lacrosse 2 years at the U first, right?
Yes, I did.
Why did you go from lacrosse to rowing?
Just kind of an awkward transition period. Had an injury. I thought, hey, maybe I might as well just try this sport. And after the first week, I fell in love with it. It's technical. You have to be powerful. It's completely exhausting.
That's what I was going to say. It's got to be absolutely exhausting.
Because it is.
If you're not pulling your weight or row, the other ones know it.
Oh, yeah.
You can't, like, put the oar in the water and fake it.
Right.
So what was it about? I mean, it's just you like that part of the teamwork and the exhaustion? Because mm-hmm. I would think, what's the distance you go generally?
Well, in the fall, we race 5Ks, so it's more of a distance season.
Really?
Yep. And then in the spring, it's all 2Ks and sprints, so...
It's still 2K is still a good.
Oh, yeah.
That's still a little bit of a haul.
It is.
In a 2K, do they count how many strokes you're doing? How many times are you dipping the oar in the water? And when you're doing a 2K, do you know roughly? Is it hundreds or is it? It's got to be more than dozens.
I think it's about 250.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
By the end of the thing, you have to be absolutely gassed.
Oh yeah, you're about to die.
Well, but how do you do a 5K then? You're about to die after a 2K.
You do it at a. It's a longer stroke, so it's not quite as quick of a stroke rate. So you take more strokes, and it's not quite as fast. So it's more paced, yep. I guess you could say.
Now, Mari, and you're the captain of the team, or one of the captains, or the
captain? I'm one of the captains, yeah.
Big shot we got here. Now, Mari Sunbow from the Gophers rowing team. You got the Big Ten Championships coming up in Indianapolis May 16th and 17th. How have you done in the past there?
We've done reasonably well. Always looking for an improvement.
Well, you talk like a captain and a coach.
Yeah, this year we're planning to come in really strong. We've had a really great season and just want to finish it off the same way we started.
Well, how many women compete? You call it a meet?
A regatta.
A regatta, okay. I thought that was with sailing. I guess it is with that, too. But how many, now your second varsity eight, how many eights are there? Are there two eights or three eights?
Well, there's two varsity eights and three varsity fours, and then our novice team has two eights. So,
okay.
Total.
What about the single, though, the ones that do go solo? Do you have that, too?
Oh, we don't race those during
okay.
the year, yeah.
Oh, you don't? Okay. So there's there's about two dozen of you that race, right?
There's a large amount, yeah. If you count... Because there's eight people in a boat, so we have two eights.
16, and then you've got, you said, two fours?
Three fours.
Oh, three fours. Oh, it's more than two dozen then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so you got 28 people racing. And how many aren't you? Got, now, was the rowing team started because of Title IX so you could have an equal number of scholarships as football? So there's got to be a lot of women in rowing because that's the big sport, right? To basically match up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great. We have our varsity program and then also our novice team. So it provides a lot of opportunity for people who want to walk on to the sport. And they in the fall, we get people... You know, about 100 that come down to the boathouse and give it a try.
After one, two,
yeah.
2K, how many are saying, I've had enough?
Slowly they get weeded down. But, you know, this year we have a great group of novice women who are excited to come back next year to varsity.
Now, when they, is anyone recruited with a scholarship? Do you have any women who did rowing in high school and they came with a scholarship, or are most of you people who walked on and then you got scholarships?
We have quite a few actually that are recruited and come with scholarships, but we get a lot of our rowers from the novice program.
Okay. Now, a lot of them come from another sport like you did, from lacrosse or...
A fair amount,
where do you
yeah.
find most of them coming from? What sport?
Probably things like track, cross-country skiing, a lot of condition, you know, sports where you condition a lot. Just great all-around athletes, I'd say.
Now, right now, you've been smiling most of the time. You have practice yet. How do you smile knowing you're going to be, you know, going for... Are they 2Ks you do at practice, or is it like 10Ks?
It's pretty hard. I mean, I already had practice this morning also.
Oh, you did?
Today's
you,
a two-a-day.
2 days?
Yep.
You're going to miss your season? You go two-a-days?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's got to be very exhausting.
It's great. I don't mind.
What do they give you over there at the boathouse? There must be some kind of something with sugar in it, I'm guessing, to keep you guys going. Now, you are a junior, so you could still go next year too.
I'm a fifth year senior, so I'm graduating.
Oh, well, they told me you were a junior. Okay. When what's your degree going to be?
Recreation, leisure, and sport management.
So you're going to go, like, teach kids how to row? What do you do with that?
This summer, I'm planning on coaching, a little bit of rowing, and also working at Minnetonka High School Athletics as a strength.
Because that's where you were
assistant.
Before.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are pretty strong. I can tell that from your grip.
Yeah.
Your strength is, and you. I mean, not that you don't look strong, but you're not like some muscle-bound, you know.
I got a little
something
there.
Did you see that?
That just scared the crap out of me.
She just
is going to beat us
just
up, Bob.
Flexed. I mean, you have the Popeye muscle in your arm. You didn't look like it when your arm was just sitting there. Okay, what do you bench?
Oh, I mean, it depends on the...
What do you bench? What's your best bench? I bet you shame a lot of guys with it.
I mean, yeah, when I show up at the rec center, a couple of guys are shamed. But
are you over 200? Am I insulting you by saying only 200?
I could probably do over 200. I think it depends on the type of training that we're doing and what part of the season we're in. But
is most of that from rowing or is it from lifting weights?
Probably both.
That is the other one just like it? You showed me your right arm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, left one's good, too.
Holy cow. Now, Mari, I got to tell you, I have rarely seen a man or a woman that's got that type of a bicep. You should, we should show, do me a favor. Actually, just before we go off the air,
right.
I want to get his, I'm calling Mike Morris over here. I want him to see this. Mike Morris trains athletes, you know, weightlifters.
Wow.
And Mike, please go to the mic. You have to see this. This is Mari Sunbow from the rowing team. Mari, would you show him what you just showed us on that right arm of yours? How about that?
Well, she's got jailhouse yokes.
It's incredible.
I'm telling you, she's all swole, as we say in the business. You have done, you've done some bench, you've done some tricep, you've done some biceps, you've done supersets, it looks like to me, and then some triceps.
I know. Yeah. Shake her hand. I told her that give it the real one. It's like shaking Adrian Peterson's
hand.
Good.
That's a great grip.
And you look at her, it belies it. I mean, she's a young, attractive young woman.
Absolutely.
She's lean. She's not, I mean, she's not, for lack of a better term, you're not like beastly or anything.
No, she's not like a monster of any sort. I mean, number one, that would sink the boat.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that would slow the boat down. No, I mean, honestly, I mean, how long have you been working out now? I mean, in the weight room. That's weight room. And a lot of pulling, just that constant pulling and from, right?
Yeah, the rowing motion is basically a power clean, so.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It's just a long high pull. Yeah, it really is.
Superstar Mike. Mike, I had to call you in because when I saw that, and I saw you in the other room with Ben, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's good. Unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
Now he's showing you his.
All right.
They're both impressive.
Yeah.
All right. Mari, I wish we had more time, but Mari Sunbow from the University of Minnesota rowing team, great having you join us, and good luck at the Big Ten. You have a great sense of humor, too, which is always good.
Oh, thank you.
But that was fun, and you... anybody on campus who runs into Mari, have her flex for you, because that is one impressive... Popeye muscle you got on your bicep.
Thank you.
Well, Mari, thank you again. That's our Gopher segment with Mari Sunbow, Minnetonka native, captain of the rowing team for the Gophers. A very impressive young woman, and best of luck in your career. And you picked the right thing. You're just going to be having fun all your life, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Just hanging out and doing wrecking sports. Good you. All right, thanks again, Mari.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. Come right back with John Tower. We're going to talk to him. He's the basketball coach at St. Thomas, also a psychology professor at the school. If there's any psychological way, we'll talk to him about being down 3-0 in a best of 7 against a terrific team. We'll be right back with John Tower. Did he request this?
I don't know.
Pretty good. Good choice. We are joined by John Tower, the coach of the St. Thomas men's basketball team and a psychology professor at St. Thomas. John, we corresponded a little bit about this. Down 3-0 against one of the best team in hockey. How do you keep yourself mentally, you know, sharp or psychologically don't fall apart?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's not an enviable position, and so we can analyze the sport psychological ramifications, but the other reality is what you just said. If you're playing against a better team, which it appears they are, and you've got to win 4 straight games, the odds of that, while we were doing math a few weeks ago, the odds of winning 4 straight against an even team are 1 in 16. This is probably not an even match. So it's, you know, they're a huge underdog. I think at this point, their best bet is you got to try to shake things up, and hopefully they play as free and loose as they can, and they get on a run, and then you never know. I mean, the reality is losing 1-0 is not an embarrassment. So they're not, they're not out of their league, but they're going to have to get some momentum.
Well, and you're right. I mean, they're keeping it close, but they're not getting over the hump and winning those games. Now, is there a mathematical number or an estimated one you would put on coming back from a team that's equal or better than you? I mean, is it 1,000 to 1, 10,000? I have no idea. That's why I'm not good at math.
I would put it in the hundreds to one. It's not insurmountable. But if you say they have a 1 in 3 chance of winning each game, then there's a 1 in 81 chance of winning 4 straight against a team like the Blackhawks. So it's not hundreds to one, I don't think. But it's also going to be difficult for a lot of reasons. So don't go put any money on it unless you get 500 to 1 odds. But they could do it.
I don't know if you get that, but, well, actually, you may get something like that from someone, because there's, from a Blackhawk fan, and it's, because they have, basically, they do. They have no margin for error anymore. And that's, do you like that about your sport, by the way, where it's one and, you're either advanced or you're one and done, or would you like to have a playoff in college basketball?
Oh, I would love to have a playoff. I mean, I think the nice thing about a playoff is that the better team's more likely to win, and the more games you have, the more reliable an instrument it is. So it's 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5, 4 out of 7. The more games you have, the more likely the superior team wins. And so, I mean, the beauty of March Madness, part of what attracts people to it is the one and done atmosphere that you can get upset any given night. And you look at the NCAA tournament, why do people love the first round? Well, most of the games, favorite wins, but it's the ones where the underdog wins that people sort of end up remembering, the Georgia States from this year. So I would love to see a best of three. I don't think we're going to see that. You see it a little bit in softball and baseball in college, but that's about it.
Yeah, I don't think basketball, there's just not enough time to have that.
No, you'd have to you'd limit it to 16 teams and you could do something like that. But, you start thinking about the Final Four, and part of what is special is, these four teams are coming here, and after Saturday, we're down to 2, and Monday night, we're down to 1. And knowing the finality of it, whereas college baseball, there are times where, that, hey, this team's up 1-0, they might win it. It's not a do-or-die game for both teams.
Well, and now in the NBA, they're down to the conference semifinals. What have you? I mean, do you like what you're seeing there? I mean, two of the four, the Warriors and Grizzlies are tied at 1. Atlanta and Washington both it's 1. They've each won a game, and the Clippers are up 1-0 on the Rockets. Bulls up 1-0 on the Cavaliers. Are any of those? I mean, how are you liking those? And which team do you see emerging from each conference?
It's fascinating right now. Cleveland with Kevin Love, and before Smith got suspended, I think they were probably the clear favorite in the East. I think now without Love, I think the Bulls have just as good a chance as them, and the Hawks certainly, both in their first round series and right now, have not rolled like you'd expect a team that won as many games as they did. Over in the West, I love how the Spurs play, and for the Clippers to get over that hump, they could be kind of, it would be fun to see a Clippers Golden State series, because I think both of those teams have great storylines, but Memphis is really tough defensively. And I don't think they're going to go away easily. And, Houston's very good as well. So I think these are 8. It wouldn't surprise me to see any of these teams advance, put it that way.
Well, what's interesting about it is the visiting team has, in each of the four series that are left, they've won a game, to start it out, which is obviously taking away home court advantage.
And that's huge. And if Chicago were to beat Cleveland tonight, which they could sneak another game without Smith, he comes back in game 3. Suddenly, you've got Cleveland's backs against the wall, and there really is not, even though Golden State won, I think, 66 or 67 games this year, they're unbelievable offensively. They're really good, but, you watch them play last night, and when they don't shoot it well from 3, which is a highly variable proposition, they're going to have some off nights. I still think they're probably top to bottom the best team because they are so versatile. But it's going to be a fascinating playoffs.
Well, it's shaping up like one, and I think around here, because there's no team involved, people aren't paying close attention to it, but they are having some fun series and fun games. I think when the Wild are done, whenever that is, people will start refocusing on other sports. The Twins, certainly, they'll be more focused on, but I think the NBA, people will be paying attention there, too. Now, you have your book is coming out in about less than a month, or about a month?
Yeah, June 1st, the book will be out on well-intentioned, over-involved sports parents. So we're trying to get at this culture of youth sports and restore a little bit of sanity to something that, it's near and dear to all of our hearts. I think just about everybody grew up playing youth sports, but the the degree to which parents have kind of taken over, I think, sometimes contaminates things more than it ought to.
No, there's no doubt about that. And where can people, you have camps that you've been doing since you were an undergraduate for basketball. Where can people go if they have interest in signing up their children for that?
Yeah, we've got 9 weeks of camp starting June 8th. JohnnyTowerBasketball.com has all the brochures, website information, and it's, you know, they're week-long camps, so kids can come for 1 week at a time. A lot of kids come for three or four. My two boys are stuck there all 9 weeks, and fortunately, they still like hanging around with their dad, so that's a great way for me to spend the summer.
That's a great point. It's a good one. They like basketball. They're not hockey players, right?
They like basketball, and they like me. Let's see how old they get before either or both.
No, they'll love them for right through adulthood. John, thanks so much for taking the time. John Tower, coach of the St. Thomas basketball team and a psychology professor at the U. He's got a book coming out June 1st, and his camp's coming up. We're going to take a quick break. Thanks again, John.
Thank you, Bob. Great to talk.
All right, great talking to you. We're going to take a quick break. Come back with a guy I spent 25 years with over on the KQ Morning Show. Mike Gelfand will join us. We'll talk a little, you know, horse racing from the Derby. We'll talk a little Pacquiao, what's going on with that now. We'll talk a little we can talk everything with Mike, because he's a man who can talk any and everything when it comes to sports. We'll be right back with Mike Gelfand.